You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Well, Happy New Year, Stoppies!
Happy New Year, my little Stoppy babies!
Oh,
my little babies!
We have been celebrating a lot of special days with y'all recently. Lots of times that are normally times of celebration and joy, and we've juxtaposed it with the worst music that you can find. So I guess that's our idea of a party. So I hope you're having fun partying with us today, because this is our 2017 retrospective episode.
Our bottom 10 worst songs from the worst albums of 2017.
Yeah. Talk about the process for determining these terrible, terrible songs. How did you find the bottom of the barrel when there's just so much shit to wade through before you get down there?
I don't know. I went to rate your music, and I sorted by the bottom of 2017. And, you know, I also, there were some albums that I listened to of my own volition, like just not knowing what I was getting into, that I remembered being very bad, and I put those on the list. There were, you know, I looked at, like, what got the worst ratings on Pitchfork. I looked at what got...
Oh, so you did actual research. You actually cared enough and tried enough to try and give this some sort of a scientific backing, right?
Heather, this podcast is my life. This is all I have.
I know.
All I do anymore is listen to bad music. Yep. There were, I'm sure, like, you know, there was a lot of good music that came out this year, but all the good albums I listened to, like, once, months ago. Because I've just been listening to garbage.
Well, we're doing the Lord's work. I mean, yeah, so I was saying it's been a really rough year, and we've really depended on our cultural icons to, you know, to come out and speak out, you know, on behalf of women's rights, on behalf of immigrant rights, right? We've been making all sorts of art about, you know, living in this fucking Trumpocalypse nightmare hellscape. And, you know, people have actually, there's been a lot of amazing art that's come out in 2017, but we wouldn't know it because all we do is fucking listen to trash now. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Could you please stop paying attention to us and feeding this addiction? Because it's not good.
It's a
problem.
It's a problem.
It's a problem.
You're enabling them.
Yeah, it's true. In a year that, you know, took so much from us, we decided let's make it even worse. So
yeah.
We wanted to end our terrible year of 2017 on a similarly terrible note and really bring you the gleaming shit nuggets, the ultimate trash of 2017. So actually there was a few that just didn't make the list. Like, who were some of the considerations that you still trudged through to make the final lineup?
So the new Haim album originally was on the list because I remember listening to that and really hating it when it came out. But when
how
I listen,
can you hate Haim? I feel like they're like
they're
Wilson
really
Phillips
like,
for you know our generation.
I liked that,
but
first
also Wilson
Haim
Phillips
album.
Is still Wilson Phillips for our generation.
I liked the first Haim album.
I'm
thought
a Philpy. Continue.
Thank you for cutting me off with that.
Sorry,
I'm sure it's
sorry,
very important for you to get that terrible Wilson Phillips pun out.
I made up what their fans would call themselves.
A Philpy?
Shut up.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, keep going.
But yeah, Haim, I didn't like it. I liked the first Haim album a lot. The second album, I felt like when I listened to it, it had too many elements of like current pop music, some of the annoying shit we're going to talk about later in the show today. But then when I listened to it, like, I listened to it when it came out, which was early in the year, and when I listened to it again for the purposes of this list, I listened to so much other bad pop music that, like, Haim sounded really good compared to it, and I could, it wasn't, it's yeah. still it's still not my favorite, but
so
it's not
bad enough. Congratulations, Haim.
Congratulations, Haim, you're okay.
You're better than bad, it's good.
and also, another album that I hadn't listened to, but, like, was I saw on some other lists of, like, worst of the year, and it was pretty low on Rate Your Music, and I listened to it, and I actually liked it a lot. Was the new AFI album.
Yeah, I loved hearing that. That was great. That was some nice, some vindication for my 14-year-old self who was mercilessly teased for wearing only eyeliner and a AFI sweatshirt past my knees. So, you know, still got it, Davey.
It was easy to assume that it would be a terrible album.
Yeah.
Right? You would
it's
think...
called the Blood album.
Yeah.
But we were listening to it. It's not bad.
It's pretty serviceable goth rock.
It's goth dad rock.
Yeah.
Goth dad rock.
Which
and
is good.
You know what? I want to be a goth dad
we'll
someday.
We'll both be goth dads someday.
Oh,
Heather.
Well, this is our baby. We're goth dads, and our baby is making stuff. This is what happens. So you picked the worst of the worst. You listened to the full albums too to make sure that you really picked not just the single, but you know, you did a little deep dive here and you know.
Yeah, I'm not gonna sit here and bullshit you like I listened to every second of every song on these albums.
Well then fuck you, you're fired. You're off the podcast.
If the songs were too good, I skipped them after a minute and a half, yeah. But most of them were really bad, so
they
I
were really
to most
bad.
Of them.
And we're going to tell you now that you know there's certainly, as you might have imagined, if you ever listened to the radio, that you know there's quite a trend in modern day pop music where a lot of shit just sounds cut and pasted this fucking same. And I yep. gotta say that these first, so we're gonna count down from the least worst, right? So the number 10 worst album of the year, all the way up to number one.
Mm-hmm.
But these first like five could be the same song. Pretty much.
The first four.
At least four.
You're going to hear a lot of the same elements, and we'll get into it.
Yeah, so let's get
so
into
let's
it.
Get
so
into
are
the
we,
first,
are
the
we
first,
ready?
The least worst song.
The least worst song.
Of the 10 worst.
Of the worst songs.
Is here we have Live in the Moment by Portugal the Man. But I still glow, oh yeah.
Could be a Katy Perry song. I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
It just sounds, it's a car commercial.
It's just
built to be a car commercial.
It's especially bothersome to me because I liked Portugal the Man.
Yeah.
I thought they're
early. They've been around for a while
doing
good music.
And they wrote some good songs. I really like Censored Colors and The Satanic Satanist and Waiter, You Vultures. I thought those were all good albums. And they had a few duds in a row, you know, where they were kind of spinning the wheels, and I guess they were like, well, it's time to just get together with the committee of the 20 guys who write all the songs in the radio and do that. Just do those songs, because it just, they've
so
all
generic.
Originality and elements that made Portugal the Man are gone and replaced with, like, it's essentially, like, this is, you know, Maroon 5. It's just Maroon
exactly.
5.
This is Maroon 5. The next four songs are Maroon 5. Maroon 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
And 8. it's really fucking bad.
It's also like,
is this what living in the moment sounds like? Like, that. This is like, let's live in the moment. It just sounds like fucking Urban Outfitters music. You know what I mean?
It is
like,
Urban Outfitters music. It's definitely tailor-made for Urban Outfitters.
And
is that what
you think about when you think about, like, you know, living for the moment and, like, embracing, you know, the uncertainty of life? Is,
yeah, when I
you
think
know,
about
do I want to buy this fucking distressed denim vest or this?
When I think about live in the
patched,
moment, I think about
denim vest.
I think about a canvas frame that says live in the moment in a cool font that you can buy at Urban Outfitters.
Yeah, dude, it's so prepackaged. It's so formulaic. It sounds like some like generic young adult movie soundtrack music. Like, I'm waiting, you know. I don't know.
I'll say
Saoirse Ronan is going to be in a fucking movie about a girl dying of cancer, and this will be the theme song for it when she, like, realizes that there's so much to live for, even when you're dying.
Whoa, just went Farrah Abraham with that.
I know. oh my God, we were playing, hold on. We were playing the Pizza Box game last night. The Pizza Box
drinking game.
Those of you guys who don't know, it's a great drinking game. And one of the spots on the Pizza Box was that you had to listen to Farrah Abraham's My Teenage Dream Ended. And it was so funny because we had it finished. Like, we were at the very last song. And then somebody got it again.
All right, you got to explain how this game works.
Okay. So the Pizza Box game, it's just everybody writes their name on a pizza box and circles it, and then you flip a quarter, you go around the circle, and if you land on a name, then that person has to drink, and if you land on a blank space, then you write a rule and circle it, and then if you, you know, if somebody else lands on it, then they have to follow that rule. So it just ends up getting filled up with rules, and then one of the rules was listen to Farrah Abraham, My Teenage Dream Ended. We were at the very end of the fucking album and somebody then landed on it again. And we had to listen to the whole thing over again.
Oh, God. What a cool.
Yeah, so anyway, sorry. Sorry for that tangent, but I just wanted to
That's great to know.
Let you know.
That brings me joy. After,
I know.
You know.
This is a pretty joyless exercise.
Get into here.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is just, it's just very generic, you know.
Yeah.
What 2017 needed was not more disinterested white boy whining. That's just not what we needed. It's not what we're in the market for these days. So
not just,
I guess it's fine.
I think there were probably worse songs than this, but I'm just mad at Portugal the Man.
Yeah,
you know? they did this to themselves.
It's disappointing. It's true. Okay, That's pretty much all we have to say on this one, right?
It's not
thrilling.
I'm finished
all right,
with that.
We're done with that. Okay, so this next one, another, you know, formerly beloved band of our youth that should have stopped making music a long time ago. This is Weezer with Happy Hour.
Off the album Pacific Daydream.
All right, so that was Maroon 6 with
it's Maroon 5 song.
With dad references off their new album, We Give Up.
Yo, it's so sad, though, because I got to say, Weezer's been striking out for so long.
So
like, they really, the last album they made for a long time that anyone could make the argument was good was Maladroit, and that wasn't even that good. The last really good album they made was Pinkerton in the 90s, in 1996.
That was a long fucking time ago.
So
we were barely zygotes.
After years of striking out and just making garbage, I think the White
Album...
They
went to the committee.
But before they went to the committee, they did the White Album, which came out 2 years ago? I think it was 2016. And it was good. There was four songs on it that were, like, really good. There was one song, L.A. Girls, that honestly is the first Weezer song that's come out since the 90s that harkens back to the Weezer that I remember. L.A. Girls, please act your age. So I was excited. I'm like, they finally figured it out. They're doing it right. And then they literally come out with this album that in interviews they talk about, like, we didn't do this for the fans. And it's like, well, what the fuck did you do this for?
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck?
They didn't do it for the fans. They did it for the money. They thought, or some weird fucking fantasy of Rivers Cuomo of crafting the perfect pop whatever that he's had in his brain.
Making
because
a fucking
he's so neurotic
Stevie
and
Ray
fucked
Vaughan
up.
And a Monty Python reference all in one goddamn fucking exaggerated breath.
Yeah, because did you know that he writes all of his lyrics from a spreadsheet of lines
of
that
reference,
he's written down
of pop cultural
that
references?
Rhyme? He's like,
oh my God.
Arranged by
no,
the number of syllables
not.
In them? Yes, he is fucked up in the head.
Oh my God.
And he needs to be stopped. Someone needs to chuck that Excel sheet into the recycle bin.
Jesus Christ.
Because
that's
not how you
make music.
Make music.
And do you even want to make music at that point? Dude got a Harvard degree. Like, go do something else, man.
Rivers is a He needs help, okay?
I guess that's true.
He's got the hair plugs with the black Just for Men, still rocking the glasses, like, dude.
Yeah, buddy. You don't look like Buddy Holly anymore.
Move
it's more
on.
Like, Daddy, sorry.
But yeah, this album really fucking sucks. It's really a bummer. It's the worst. It's the worst they've done since Ratitude, which we're gonna do on this show.
And it's so fucking cheesy, like the artificial kind of like whoop-a-doop Margaritaville. What universe does this exist in?
It has that.
They're such fucking dads.
It has that sample in the background.
Just be a dad.
Of like the high-pitched voice going like and it's like why. Is that a defining aspect of this generation of pop music? Why does every pop song have to have that, like, high-pitched, like, in the background? Like, every time I go to a fucking H&M, it's like, I just hear that over and over
again. That's what you get for going to an H&M.
Oh, they have cheap clothes.
This is music to go to H&M to. This is music to be in a supermarket line to.
Yes, but it's a bummer because it's Weezer doing
it. But that used to be a good band, but we need to let it go. 1996 was a fucking long time ago, and it's time to say that Weezer's bad. Sorry, hot take, mic drop. All right,
we had a good time seeing them play the Blue Album.
Yeah,
at Riot
playing
Fest.
Keywords, playing the Blue Album. Next. All right, this song
this is Arcade Fire with Electric Blue off the album Everything Now.
All right, that's Maroon 7.5 with Maroon 19 and a half.
I just don't get it. I was never a big Arcade Fire fan, but
who really is a big Arcade Fire fan? Because
there's a lot of they're a beloved band.
By who?
By, you know, a lot of white people.
Okay.
A lot of white people our age, actually.
2017, the year that white people should have learned to take a fucking seat, but apparently didn't.
But I remember when Funeral came out, which, God, was like, what, like 14 years ago now or something?
Yeah,
shit?
That's another thing. All of these bands are old. They're all old. This is all just fucking old.
Yeah, and this is really
nothing new to say.
This is them
nothing
grasping
going on.
Fruitlessly at relevance with this album. But it's weird because they're so off the mark if they think that they're going to become relevant again in 2018 or 2017.
By doing new disco.
With a disco punk.
There's nothing punk about this. This shit died the first time
LCD Sound System broke up.
It's so bad. It's boringly, blandly bad. It's bad in the same way that all those other songs that you hear on the radio are bad. Because it's just music to do laundry to, you know? It just kind of fades.
I would argue that, like, early Arcade Fire is music to do laundry to, but it's like...
Actually, this is like too
gentle,
grating. This is too grating to do laundry to.
It's like gentle, it's like, soothing, you know, kind of beautiful, warm feeling...
warm feeling?
Yeah, there's a beautiful warm feeling you get listening to Funeral, even though I don't even really particularly care for that album. It is, like, they have a vibe, and that vibe is nowhere on this album. If you like the Arcade Fire, if you're one of those people in current year who still like Arcade Fire...
Yeah, this doesn't sound
this
like...
This is not... They're not going to get anything from this.
No.
This is another one where it's like, who was this made for?
Right.
Why... It sound like it definitely seems to me like they
and like the video is like similarly like baffling. It's just the singer that just like Elaine Bemis flailing around in like a parking lot with like you know it's like we're all too old for this. We're just too old for this.
Yeah, that's the recurring theme of the day is you're all too old for
you're
this.
All too
you need
old
to
for
stop.
This. And like you can do like. Okay, I'm not trying to be ageist because you can be old as fuck and make masterpieces.
Yeah,
like
Bowie.
Fucking Bowie Blackstar, I was just about to say. And like there's plenty of other examples. You know, Johnny Cash, like fucking you can be old as fuck and be making relevant, incisive, interesting, fucking radical music as an old person. But this is not
Yeah, or you could go and meet with the 20 guys who write every pop song and have them write
and
your new album.
Just fucking sign your soul over to them. And
that's apparently the fucking thing to do because that's I don't know. I'm not gonna accuse the Arcade. I didn't look at the credits on this album. I don't know if they wrote this themselves or if they worked with songwriters. Definitely Portugal the Man wrote with songwriters. Definitely Weezer wrote with other songwriters. Arcade Fire, I feel like they probably did. But
how many assholes does it take to screw in a fucking pop song in 2017?
If you do look these albums up on Wikipedia, you see the same names pop up over and over again in the songwriting
credits. It's the committee.
And it's so exhausting, you know, like as Eminem would say, it's exhaustive.
It's exhaust. No, he would say it's exhaustive.
We'll get to
wait. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, you got to cut this out. I don't want to spoil it.
No spoils. All right. So yeah, this fucking song feels like it's 6 hours long, and I'm already over it. Shall we?
Yeah.
Oh wait. So what's the next one?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of bands that should have stopped a long time ago.
Oh, and here we are.
Oh, it's not even the song I was thinking of, but yep. This band
but
also should have stopped.
It's still relevant.
Still relevant.
Still a relevant comment. All right. This is Maroon 5's song Whiskey off their album...
Red Pill Blues.
Oh, God. Can we hold on? Before we even get into the song, can we just go into that? The fact that they would have fucking called their album the Red Pill Blues, without apparently knowing what that reference is, like the alt-right fucking men's rights fucking garbage on fucking Reddit. So that's also the whitest thing I've ever heard. And then on top of that, the fucking Red Pill Blues, like when I think about bands or people that are really burdened by their wokeness, I really think of Maroon 5. Like, what the fuck? Red Pill Blue. It's so hard that I learned the truth, but in sub behind the matrix, man, I got the blues. It's so hard being fucking
I don't know what
Adam Levine.
Yeah, I don't know what they
That's
could be
what
talking
they were referencing.
About.
That's
I know,
were...
but if you listen to the lyrics on the album, it's just talking about fucking and breaking up, you know? Like, it's very simple shit.
They saw behind the curtain, man. All right, this song is called fucking Whiskey, I guess.
Would have waited a thousand nights if she never said goodbye. I admit that I would have sold my soul for a little more time. Use your child to forget her. But now I smile, but now I remember.
Okay.
So we don't
all
get
right,
the,
Bruno.
We don't get the hook on there. The
and kiss me.
I was so young. Just kiss me like a whiskey.
And it sounds like a country western fucking pop rap track. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, it's
know what the definition between genres is anymore.
The whole pop landscape right now is this weird fusion of like 80s synth pop with trap music.
Oh yeah,
with like little flourishes of James Blake vocal manipulations.
And this
it's all being done by past their prime white dorks who have no business
doing this at all. And yeah, and like white dudes passed far past their prime, if you could even say that Maroon 5 had a prime, because I don't think that's possible. But this song features ASAP Rocky, which we also didn't include. He's like super auto-tuned to shit and sounds, you know, as bored as all of us do. But it, yeah, I mean, like, also, can you just Maroon 5 featuring ASAP Rocky, like, does that say everything that needs to be said about this fucking song? About our fucking musical landscape right now? Well, Maroon 5, like...
Well, Maroon 5, I mean, they've always been fucking with hip, you know, like, didn't they do... He did
yeah, they're
Hurt
like
Him
Justin,
Say.
Justin on, Timberlake White.
He did Hurt Him Say on the second Kanye album.
Ugh.
Adam Levine, you know what? Adam Levine does have a good voice. But
no,
he sounds out on this album.
No, he sounds like he's edging throughout his entire singing career, his entire trajectory of everything. He's like, right about to come. And then he just... dangling on the precipice. But never anybody ever getting satisfied. So... yeah, it's bad. This is Maroon 5 featuring Maroon 8.
But no, I liked the clip that we picked because I feel like that's actually Adam Levine. He's trying to do like an ASAP Rocky flow.
Yeah.
He's failing.
Yeah, he's failing bad.
But yeah, there's a few songs in this album that just sound like Adam Levine, like those really lame. Like, it's weird where they kind of meet in the middle of Adam Levine is a pop artist and he's trying to do little hip-hop things, and it sounds just like Drake when he tries to do little pop things. Like, they're meeting in the middle.
the middle of the road. The middle of the road.
Wait, is that a Maroon 5 song?
Oh, no, I'm just saying the middle of the road, meaning as the path of least resistance, milquetoast garbage. Yeah. Yeah. They're meeting at the middle of the road.
Yeah. It's just frustrating seeing
also,
these trends
Maroon
play out.
Maroon 5, theoretically, there's five people in this band, but every other one besides Adam Levine is completely, like, interchangeable with, like, an electronic, like, a pre-recorded track.
Oh, yeah, all these bands, like, there's at this point, the rest of the band
same with Weezer. Like, who can... Like, who, and the next band that we're going to talk about is just completely been usurped by the ego of its frontman.
Yeah, all these bands... The band, the rest of the band becomes, like, other faces to put in the music videos for, you know, different shot composition because they're not... The music is all being made by the songwriters, the producers they work with and shit. You
the
know,
committee.
Like the committee,
the fucking committee.
Someone,
I know.
It's fucking committee.
I know it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. So should we get on with it? Should we get on with the next one?
Because yeah, this next
again,
one,
those
we
four
about,
songs were all Maroon 5, and now.
And now another band that's just become the lead, the
a caricature
lead
of itself. This is The Flaming Lips with There Should Be Unicorns off
from the album, I think it's pronounced Oxymelody.
Great.
Yeah.
Yes, that was Wayne Coyne saying there should be naked slaves.
Yeah.
Yep, that was that was what you heard.
That's
yep.
what there that's, should be.
That's the lyrics. Yep. There should be burning sun.
This is his
And
utopia.
There should be yeah,
Can
this
we pull
is,
up the lyrics of this song are so
they're really horrible.
This is bar none the worst lyrics of 2017.
Yeah, so I will say that originally Mike had ranked this as the second least worst cuz this is oh yeah, we should be right now this is straight up in the middle. This is the fifth. No, it's the sixth worst. Okay. Originally it was the ninth worst and I had to really push it up there because the Flaming Lips are a good band. I want to say that they're a good band.
Well, they yeah, I
right?
mean,
they're
for
a good
long time.
Band. But I feel like even still, like, we've seen them live. They're fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I want to love what they do. And this is just the laziest, most fucking insipid, garbage fucking drivel. It is, the whole song is that exact same monotone, phoned in nonsense and then just rambling like again like you know in with no enthusiasm listing off there should be unicorns and there should be
yeah.
naked slaves and I am literally thinking about it as if it's like Wayne Coyne in a boardroom talking about upcoming specs for you know new music videos. He's like okay well there's gonna be unicorns and then there's gonna be you know it's just like let's just layer it with more and more and more accoutrements rather than having any substance under underneath, and it's fucking annoying. I'm looking at the lyrics right now, so
I don't even know what the Flaming Lips is anymore. It's like, you
what
know,
the fuck is
there's,
it?
This album has no like guitar or drums, and it's like not I'm not trying
band.
To sound like
and
an old man here, but it has no guitar, it has no drums, it has like no melodies.
But in the music video, they have these like silhouetted like dreadlocked dudes again, like who knows who's in the band at this point, and just like illuminated in neon, like wailing on some drums, and it's like there's no drums in this song. Like I don't know what he's fucking wailing on.
Yeah, and you think back to like a song like Race for the Prize when it kicks in with a pa da pa. The huge drums,
they were
like they had
good.
A huge sound. It's epic, and like at this point, it's just
they're just laughing in our fucking faces, man.
It's just Wayne Coyne just jerking himself off.
Yeah, Wayne Coyne. My note it, because from the video, the video you should definitely watch.
Really?
To get well, no, don't. But like, if you want to get the full kind of like what this song is trying to be about, it's basically just like a Burning Man fever dream the entire time. But like, dude, this is why reasonable people eventually stop taking acid. Like, we get it. Like, you did LSD a couple. You know, I'm sure Terrence McKenna is the most brilliant philosopher you've ever thought about, and you know, Burning Man's incredible, and fucking, you know, Free Love Forever, and like. Miley Cyrus sucked your cock, so that's probably fun.
Oh, she certainly did.
Oh, for sure.
Oh man, that album was really bad too.
Oh, the Miley Cyrus album that he wrote. Really, really bad.
Yo, we should do that episode.
Actually, that's a great one. That's a great one. But yeah, Wayne Coyne has just become a Halloween costume of himself. Like, he's just wearing a Wayne Coyne outfit. In this video, he's got these inflatable rainbow fairy wings, and just, it's... And I'm not a fucking square for saying it's too much. It's too much.
And they know it's bad, though. Like, they don't... We've seen them live a couple times, like, kind of recently... And they just play shit from, like, the Soft Parade and Yoshimi and, like, War with the Mystics. I feel like maybe they'll play, like, one song off the Terror or something, which was actually pretty good. Like, the last couple albums before this were also just Wayne Coyne kind of jerking off on Robitussin next to, like, a, you know, Dayglo reflecting pool. But, like...
That is like, the lyrics of the song. Look, yeah, there... Hold on. This is a quote. Yeah, there should be Dayglo strippers, ones from the Amazon, some edible butterflies we put ketchup on, some motorcycle stunts that always crash, and if the police show up, we'll bribe them into helping us steal the light of love from the rainbow sluts that live next door.
Stop it.
How old are you, Wayne Coyne? You're too fucking old for it. That's how old you are. You're too fucking old for it.
And also,
that's how old you are. Stop it.
I also got to say about this album.
Cut it out. Stop it.
Everyone Google the album cover for this album. Oh, it's weird. It's OCZY is the first word, and then MLODY is the second word. Google that fucking album cover and just weep with me at the fact that Flaming Lips have broken a 3-decade-long streak of great album covers with this brown
MS
Paint. What the fuck is it? What is it? What is happening? Like, the album cover alone is evidence that, like, Wayne Coyne needs help.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of interventions that need to be had over these fucking egocentric, narcissistic, boring ass, past their prime white dude frontmen that just should have been escorted to their respective pastures years ago.
And it sucks, though, because the Flaming Lips, they're really good.
We wanted to like you guys, but God fucking damn it, you make it impossible.
But they know this sucks. They don't play any of this live. Like, no. So what's the point of doing it in the first place? To cash a check? Are you making money off of this? I can't imagine anyone fucking bought this album.
Speaking of cashing a check, we gotta move on to the next song here, which is...
Another beloved... people from three beloved musical acts just tossing their careers in the trash. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
It's fucking Prophets of Rage, Legalize Me from the self-titled debut album of fucking Prophets of Rage.
Dude.
Heather, you're over there laughing. I'm just mad. I'm so upset that this happened.
Get free. Like,
legalize me.
Could you be any less convincing? Like, you know how, like, you know, Public Enemy, their whole fucking iconography was like this, like, raised fist.
Well, so was Rage Against the Machine.
And that's what I'm saying. This is the limpest fist I've ever fucking heard. Like, they're like, get free, yeah, whatever, okay, whatever. Like, let's go get pizza, all right.
Well, like, it's just, all the ideas are just so bad, too. Like, the fact that they put the wah-wah pedal on on his vocals.
Yes, and that's Be Real, right?
That's Be Real from Cypress Hill. Which, and Heather, also, we've seen Cypress Hill, and they were good.
Great, yeah. We've seen Public Enemy, and they were great.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and Rage Against the Machine, I never got to see, but I'm sure they were great, because I loved Rage Against the Machine back in the day, but... the execution is so garbage people so talented.
We watched the live video of it, and it's even worse. Fucking worse. Because you have Be Real that's like auto-tuned to shit going.
And not auto-tuned. No, he's got like a wah pedal on his vocals.
It's so bad. And like they just all look so unhappy. And it's just Tom Morello in like the deepest like squat lean, like trying like to play his guitar and be like, yeah, we're dangerous. Like it's just, again, in 2017 where we needed so much from our heroes. These were our fucking heroes. Heroes. Everybody wanted this shit to work. Okay, this was no Lulu. All right. I mean, people wanted that to work too, but this is like, okay, this could work. It makes sense. Everybody on paper, it would make fucking sense for this to work out so well. And they just let us down. And their whole legalized me.
Yeah, it's just so whack. You're talking about like, oh, they smoke in Colorado. Oh, great. Yeah, you wrote a song about how, like, dude, legalizing weed. That's real fun.
I'm ready
this
to.
This is what happens when you legalize weed. Yeah, Jeff Sessions was right.
Jeff Sessions, hot take. Jefferson Bjorgan Sessions was right all along. Yeah, fucking make weed illegal after the song. I'm ready for it. I don't want to live under a fucking in a society where this is legal. This shit should be fucking illegal. It's garbage. It's terrible.
Like, I thought Audio Slave was a bummer.
Oh my god,
Audio
yeah.
Slave came out. But you know what? I go back and listen to Audio Slave now.
Worse than Audio Slave.
Way worse. That's Audio true. Slave is actually kind of like they got some dope riffs here and there. This yep. is embarrassing. This is fucking yep. somehow it's I'm so bummed I live to see the day that Rage Against the Machine became the bands that were half-assedly emulating them out in Western Mass right. in the hippie basements
like, I'm
of
thinking
UMass
about, like,
when we were at college fucking forever ago. Like they became outer styly.
God. I like I'm thinking of like them Crooked Vultures, like for example, of like, you know, like not that any of their songs were particularly like super memorable, but that was a good collaboration.
Yeah,
like
that was a good
sounded
super group.
Fucking good. It was a super group that, again, made sense on paper and actually made sense when performed because you didn't try to fucking give them these cheesy. I said this is the audio equivalent of saying realize. Like, this is a Spencer's Gifts fucking like commercial. It's so bad.
It definitely really bums me out because I was actually excited when I heard about this
me
collaboration.
Too.
I used to, when Zach De La Rocha first quit the band, I remember saying like, oh, they should get Chuck D. I think Chuck D's a good match to Rage Against the Machine. Maybe he was back when Zach De La Rocha quit the band, you know? Maybe it would have worked then.
Chuck
but
D is, does
these
not
guys
look
are
convinced.
Just too...
Nobody sounds convinced. Nobody is committed to this.
It's not even that they can't rap well anymore. I don't know. It's
they don't care.
It's just
like
a
and
failure.
This is the thing is
it's
that nobody
such a failure.
Nobody was forcing them to do this. Like I don't understand. If you weren't all in, because it feels like they were just not committed to this project. Like, you know, if you're not all in, then don't do it.
But
like
what if this
nobody's
was them
making
giving
you
it their
do
all?
This?
What if this was them giving it their all? What if that's like I know Be Real has written a lot of songs about smoking weed.
Yep.
But this and? Is the best you can come up with now is they smoke in Colorado.
Yeah, it sounds like fucking Blue Monday, actually.
And I medicate all day or something. Like, it's oh, like, yeah. It's a parody of itself. You guys, why? Why did you do this
do
to
better,
your legacy?
Do better or this is, don't do it.
This is a
don't
worse,
do it.
This is a worse, you know, smearing of all of these people's legacy than Lulu.
Yeah, it's really bad. Okay. We should move on because I'm done. I'm fucking done with this shit.
Right.
I'm not putting in more effort into fucking critiquing their garbage than they did with fucking putting out the song.
All right, fair.
In that case, these next four songs, I don't think we deserve any commentary, but here we are anyway. This is MGK, also known as Machine Gun Kelly, with his track 27 off the album
Bloom.
Ugh.
With the little thorns coming through his hand from the roses.
So damp.
I'm supposed to write a song when I'm famous and all the pain is created. I need to overdose on inspiration. 27. Why don't you just go home? I came right now, I'm a rolling stone.
Ugh.
So we had to We had to like kind of splice two different parts together because we wanted you to hear both the bad country rap aspects and the
bad
the beginning
rap
of
aspects.
The like guitar solo.
whoa. Like what the fuck is going on? It sounds like Big and Rich.
Yo, this album's weird because it's like it's 17 songs and most of them the album is like bad rap. And then for the last like five or six songs, he just does straight country, pop country like ballads. That's how he ends
it's
the
so
album.
It's so fucked up. Yeah, exactly.
Machine Gun Kelly is this.
And the whole song is about him, like, you know, if I die at 27, at least I'll be a legend. Like, yeah, when I think of fucking legends, I really think of Machine Gun Kelly, like fire spitter from fucking Cleveland. Like,
yeah, yeah. This is point. Like, this is exactly, like, exhibit A for why they shouldn't let people from Cleveland make music.
That's fucking mean. But it's not, if we could do anything to avoid this shit, I would do it. I would go back in time. I'd do some sort of fucking butterfly effect garbage just to make sure that this record never saw the light of day. Because it's some Ed Sheeran hip hop fucking Macklemore, like it's like Machine Gun Kelly like wishes that he was Macklemore, and Macklemore might have been the other wackest motherfucker of 2017, so I don't even know.
I had to choose between this and Macklemore to put on the list because you can't put them both. Like, I don't want to make, we already made people listen to five Maroon 5 songs. Yeah. Like, I don't want to have to, but like, I think this was worse. MGK was worse than the Macklemore. Like, MGK is a wannabe Macklemore. Can you imagine being that?
The lamest fucking thing. Okay, a comment on the YouTube video for this said, quote, MGK is so much like Tupac, talking about his own death like a brave inspiration, end quote. People fucking think so much like Tupac. What a brave inspiration!
That's either a troll, like a
no,
bad troll,
no, it was very serious,
or a 10-year-old. Like,
just
by the time you're 13, you already realize that's bullshit. This is a 10-year-old.
What? Yeah. What is also what inspires you to just fucking like shove a guitar solo awkwardly into the middle of like this sad sack rap ballad, like just because you can?
Heather, and there were so many other candidates on this album. I gotta say this was was kind of keeping a running list. Like, you know, if something was really bad, I would listen to the whole song, and then the next I would go to the next song, and like if it wasn't as bad as that one, I'd keep going. But I had like a running list of like six or seven songs in this album that were all like equally bad, and I couldn't decide which one to use. Like, I settled on 27. But honestly, this album is fucking garbage.
It's
this
really
album,
bad.
Bloom is, I've never, it's the first full Machine Gun Kelly album I've listened to. The only Machine Gun Kelly I've heard
before
this.
And the last. This isn't good enough to be bad. It's bad enough to be bad, but it's not good enough to be fun.
You know, my introduction to Machine Gun Kelly was when he came out and did the performance at WrestleMania 27. And he came out and he said, he came out and he said that I'm an underdog. And you know who else is an underdog? John Cena. That's why he's going to win. And it's like, dog. John Cena won like 95% of his matches that year. And you are nothing like John Cena, buddy.
At least somebody
won. You're wrong in two ways.
At least somebody won something. Nobody's a winner here with this song or with this album or with Machine Gun Kelly.
Isn't it crazy that people like Machine Gun Kelly, though?
No.
Like, of everything we've played so far.
No, this was, 2017 wasn't, but 2016 was the year that we fucking elected Trump president. I don't think that anything is beyond the realm of
do you think that there's in the Venn diagram of Trump voters and MGK listeners that they all
meet
in the middle?
It's a circle. Oh man. All right. Well, that's bad.
Wait, is anyone who listens to MGK old enough to vote?
Oh, they're old enough, but they definitely don't vote.
They're that super conservative Generation Z I keep hearing about. This kind of
wait, what is this?
Didn't you hear that like the young generation now is like the most conservative since like the 50s or something?
Oh yeah, that we like don't believe in democratic institutions and like think it's fine if we have like authoritarianism.
Yeah, like that's the kids.
Well,
now,
we're just slowly conditioning people to, you know, accept.
Except Trump and misery, except MGK.
Except misery as a way of life, and that's what we have done. Are we contributing to that and make it stop, or are we like...
Oh, shit.
Busting?
Play the next song. I don't want to think about this.
Me neither. All right. Oh, God. You really want me to play this? Because this is Hollywood Undead.
Hollywood Undead, Riot, from the album V. With that eye of the tiger, cornrows banging out the side of my visor. I'm so damn tightly, she called me the shyster. Hitting button, but wiser. Should I come and get higher? You don't turn me into the swamp, so Charlie peeling out on a Harley at a high school park. Got a frame like Dane, call me Young Tom Hardy. I'm the fucker to blame for the young dead heart. Oh my God, dude, you just talked about showing up at a high school party and you're at least 30. At least 30.
They're all like 35.
He was also, talking about his cornrows popping out of the side of his visor. Wearing a visor in current year. And cornrows.
Is he Riff Raff?
No, don't sully the good name of Riff Raff by comparing him to Hollywood Undead.
Actually, Riff Raff was another one that didn't quite make the cut. Why didn't Riff Raff make the cut of bad albums?
It was too good.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
It wasn't...
Hot takes.
I don't know. Like, the thing... like.
It's fine.
I can't bring myself to put... Like, I feel like there's this portion of the rap game right now that's like kind of self-aware meme rappers, and I don't want to put like a Riff Raff or a Lil B or any of them on the list because I feel like they're doing a neat postmodern thing that I respect, even though
but nobody here is doing a neat postmodern thing that we respect.
No,
Hollywood
not.
Undead
Hollywood
definitely
Undead, no.
Definitely triggered my fucking broken side PTSD.
Yes.
It was like instant Stockholm syndrome, like, was that a riot?
It's like if Broken Side were even bigger posers. Because they're talking about, they got all these lines in the songs about shooting guns and ammunition.
Yeah, and like cooking and crack like, and shit. And yeah. It's like, what are you fucking talking about? Like, your name is Ethan.
You have never fired a gun at a human. And
no.
The only time you've ever been fired on is a t-shirt gun at a NASCAR race.
Oh my God.
That goes for everyone in the fucking Hollywood Undead. I almost called them Broken Side.
Exactly. It just sounds like Monster Energy drinks feel. Also, all of the people in this band wear masks, and I totally understand why. It is not hard to believe.
So I was actually introduced to Hollywood Undead when I was at UMass in college. How long ago was that, Heather?
10 years ago.
10 years ago. I think it was about like 9 years ago. I was at this like media. I was a communications major, so I was in this class about
Aren't
media
we all?
Studies. And
behind every successful podcast is a team of communications majors. It's true.
No, but I had to do this group project. We had to do a project about viral marketing and how it would. And for us, we had to talk about viral marketing and music. And how bands had used viral marketing, you know, to their advantage. And so I got paired up with kind of this meathead dude. And I, of course, being a hipster scumbag, wanted to do Radiohead in Rainbows, which had just come out. And
it was a very successful viral marketing campaign.
Yeah, they released it unexpectedly. They did it Lemonade before Lemonade. They released it for free or for name your own price on their website, unplanned, like on a random day. With no label. And the meathead dude they paired me up with was like, all right, well, I want to talk about Hollywood Undead because they fucking did their shit.
Oh my
you
God.
Know, in the underground,
wait,
too.
You got strong-armed into doing a Hollywood Undead?
Yes.
A scholarly work?
I did a project in college on Hollywood Undead.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because they came up through the underground and they even like I think it's like they had like a fake story because I think they were just put together by
of course they were.
Roadrunner Records or some shit, you know, like, you know, cause
they are at least 30. They're still doing this shit. This is still happening. God fucking damn it. Like, there's so many things that are still happening in 2017 that shouldn't, but this is one of the top of my list.
This is one of them.
This is definitely one of them.
We gotta do a Hollywood Undead album on this podcast. Like, there's a lot of bands coming up, we gotta do their albums. We gotta do Weezer,
I know, we have a
Ratitude,
lot going on.
We gotta do Hollywood Undead. Because Hollywood Undead, like, we keep, you know, when we rate the albums, we always say, how does this compare to Broken Side? Because Broken Side was the worst thing we'd ever heard to that point.
Yeah.
I think Hollywood Undead has a chance to be as bad as Broken Side.
Yeah. I would say so. They're not quite as misogynistic, but I may, again, this is just a taste. So we'll leave that to you, Stoppies, whatever you decide to inflict upon us later. I mean, we have a whole 2018 ahead for us to dig deep into that. So
we ain't stopping, all right. Stoppies.
We're not stopping, Stoppies, even though our doctors have advised us that it is better for our fucking health. All right, we're going to play this next song, which is the second worst song of the year, according to us on the Make It Stop podcast. This is Joan of Arc with Smooshed That Cocoon.
From the album, he's got the whole This Land Is Your Land in his hands.
You heard that correctly, I guess.
Yep. Then what?
That's it. Let's begin.
And it goes on like that for and 5 minutes.
5 minutes long.
I gotta give him props. This is the first song on the list.
No, you don't. You don't have to give anybody props.
I just gotta say, this is the first song on the list, which is the first song on the album. They front-loaded their album with the worst song. This
it starts. The first songs on the album are "What the Fuck."
Yeah, the first words are "What the Fuck." I agree. This is a side project of Mike Kinsella from Cap'n Jazz.
Which Cap'n Jazz? We saw them this year, and they were
at Riot
fucking
Fest,
incredible.
Just like every other band we've talked about.
I know, but it was
that's where washed up musicians go to play.
Yep. And some of them are great. And fucking Cap'n Jazz was great. They were super fun live. They were excellent. And this is just like, we don't want to be fun. We don't want to be musicians anymore. And it's like, you know, fine. Don't be. But don't just bang on Fisher-Price keyboards and sound like a fucking child having an acid trip. Like, it's not cute. Like, later on in the song, they have all these fucking stupid lyrics, you know, like, my forehead is a tongue and my tongue is my asshole. And, like,
my tongue
whatever.
Is a flower.
My tongue is a flower. Yeah, fucking apples are birds. Feet are pizza. Like, nothing matters. This song is acceptable. Like, it's not. It's not acceptable.
Yeah.
And things do matter. And again, we're living in a nightmarish dystopian, you know, fucking simulation that like could literally blow up into nuclear war in any second. Like, why make art that doesn't matter at all? What that doesn't even matter to you, because it's obvious that you didn't fucking give a shit about anybody when you released that trash. You know this isn't good. You know this isn't good, right?
Well, I don't know, because Mike Kinsella is fucking crazy. Heather, as you'll recall, he's quite an inscrutable fellow. When he was on the stage, he kept saying weird shit and just being weird. And when he plays with Cap'n Jazz, they're playing songs that were written 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, songs with parameters.
These songs. So in the 15 or 20 years since Cap'n Jazz, I guess this is what Mike Kinsella has been up to. You know, I guess this is his thing. But I think someone's got to get that K-Oscillator pad out of his hands because he's fucking drunk. Don't, you know, like, someone keep an eye on Mike. Because this shit is really disturbing.
That has been the common thread of almost all of these songs that we've played. We're like, please get help. Like, we're actually like...
Someone stop these guys.
We were all rooting for you until you did this instead of therapy. Right?
Yeah.
All right.
This is... I will give this song props again. I know you don't want me to give it props, but
please
it is...
Please don't.
It doesn't sound like Maroon 5.
All right. Well, that's true.
It does not sound like Maroon 5.
Well, I, you know, can't argue with that. We'll give it that. Okay. It's time.
It's time.
It's time, my little
A drum
stoppies.
Roll, please.
A drum roll.
For the worst album. The worst song.
2017.
Eminem, Untouchable, from the album Revival.
Bah!
This one, trying to clean up the streets from all these minorities. That's what we call them pigsties for. They're like eyesores to police. Talk too like you're just a piece of trash.
Feels like we're stuck in a time warp to me. As I kick these facts and get these mixed reactions, as this beat backspins, it's like we're drifting back into the 60s. Having black skin is risky because this keeps.
Whiskey Captain. Whiskey Blackton. I imagine death so much it feels more like a memory. This is
minorities and it bees.
This album is Eminem.
Parmesan cheese.
Doing Hamilton. This is Eminem saw Hamilton. There's a Jezebel article about it confirming Eminem saw Hamilton. And after he saw Hamilton, I believe it was in 2016.
Oh my God.
That's the only explanation I can think of. This album is full. This whole album. Like, all right, so this song. Let's talk about this song first because we
played
it.
And then we can get into Eminem because we both have long and complex histories with Eminem, yeah. Right? So, okay. Talk about the song.
So this is woke Eminem.
This is woke Eminem. This is a couple decades late.
Minorities and having black skin is risky.
Yeah, what I really need to do right now is you know what I'm missing in terms of my scholarly, you know, my woke education, my 2017 syllabus. It really requires fucking Eminem lecturing me about white privilege. That's what I need.
Well, he can't. It's hard. I can't just talk about this one song. You gotta go to the whole context of everything because he did that BET cipher that every fucking white liberal shit their pants about.
Oh my God, he's so brave. He's so brave.
And it was just him being like, you know, Trumpy Wumpy.
Poopy Doopy.
Like,
little poopy.
Should I pour this hot cup of coffee on Donald Trump? I don't know if I should, sir. You know?
Okay, the cadence, the emphasis on the different syllables is like so. Not only is it substanceless, right? But it's so holier than thou. It's so sanctimonious. It's fucking, you know, Eminem figured it all out. What it turns out, what Eminem figured out is that if he can't use, you know, fucking gay slurs, then he has nothing else to fucking say.
He doesn't
okay?
use gay slurs anymore, but he said retarded in like every song on this album.
Yep, and he still made rape jokes, you know, yep. fucking referencing like Bill Cosby, blah 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 blah, yeah. blah 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 blah.
But this album is interestingly bad because I swear to God he's doing fucking Hamilton. I swear to God he's doing Hamilton because it's every, they've got all these like you know, synth and piano, very epic compositions, and every song is about like him looking internally and being like, I need to write the better rhymes to be the best. And it's like, yeah.
It's like, dude, if you're spending all this fucking mental energy and anxiety on thinking about how you fucking like missed your peak and that like you're just desperately clinging to this like old image of what you used to be, maybe that's actually what you're doing.
I'm just looking for the verses that I haven't written yet.
Well,
you know,
well, you're not writing them, so maybe just stop. Yeah, maybe just fucking stop. You have enough money for lifetimes, Eminem. You have so much fucking money. Just go be a dad. Go be a 45-year-old dad. That's what you are. That's what you are. Stop fucking rehashing these tired old fucking tropes and trying to reinvent yourself in a society that has long since surpassed you.
Yeah.
We just are not there. Like, listen, Eminem, for me, taught me how to rap. I was a young, angry, white boy growing up in the suburbs and was like fucking, you know, Eminem was my hero. And
yeah,
I loved
Eminem.
Listening to Eminem, and obviously there's so much problematic shit in what he said.
Right.
Super fucked up shit
but
that
was
aping and emulating.
But it was the 90s.
Yeah, it was still fucked.
It was
but the
attitude
point is that I learned about like internal rhyme schemes and learned about like, you know, delivery and flow. He lost all of that sort of effortless flow. Like, this is a fully strained, like, performance. Like, every single
after the Eminem show, it was like the pills just took over, and he...
And guess what? Pills are boring, and so are you, Eminem.
And he started doing the weird... First he did... All right, like, let's do Eminem history here, because before we got to this point... There's been so many other bad permutations of Eminem in different various ways. Because, all right, after the Eminem show, he came out with Encore, where he was obsessed with doing this Triumph the Comic Insult Dog accent. Ugh. Like, weird. Do the accent! Da-ba-da-da-da-da-da! Like, on all his songs. And he continued doing that. I don't know. I think he was trying to do, like, an Arabic voice, maybe? Like, a very stereotypical Arabic voice. And he did that all over that album, which I think he doesn't even remember making. It's like his Station to Station. And then he came out, he like was done for a while. Encore was supposed to be his last album. I wish it was.
I wish it was.
And then he came out with...
I don't want to see this...
Relapse. He came out with Relapse, which was, I think, the worst Eminem album. where he continued to do that and was still doing really obnoxious raps. He did a song about, like, basically, like, sexually harassing Mariah Carey, which I think happened in real life. Or no, they dated. That's right. It was like he made, like, a Kim song about Mariah Carey.
The
and
point
he just
is,
keeps going. He keeps going.
Is that
he
should,
going.
Again, like many of the artists that we've talked about today, he should have stopped a long time ago. He does not have anything fucking interesting to say. And what he's doing is just copy and pasting these phoned in corny pop choruses from like Pink and like Alicia Keys, and then like doing these like super hyperventilating staccato, like overly exaggerated, just throwing syllables in that shouldn't exist, that shouldn't have been there in the first place, and not saying anything interesting or important or radical at all. And like Eminem, for all of his problematic shit, he was actually very, you know, he did have a lot of like incisive commentary, I would say, about like the Bush administration.
Yeah, and about
he had that song, you know,
poverty.
White America was a pretty good song off of the Eminem show and stuff like that. Like he has talked about, you know, whiteness and privilege and shit in a way that hasn't come off. It's just this cloying, saccharine, fucking embarrassing shit. And it's like, we again, Eminem, we don't need your opinion on police brutality right now. Like,
well, especially if his opinion is just like forcing words into sentences that don't make sense
Person
because they rhyme.
Into sentences that they
sentences
that they rhyme and then meet the
yeah. I'm more bothered by the rhyme schemes than by the content. Like, I mean, it's all whack. The whole package is whack. And this was it was hard to pick a song from this album because so many, they're all bad in like different ways. Like some of them are like, you know, like the song Offensive is just him trying to be edgy in like a really, you know, irritating way. And then there's the songs that sound like Hamilton.
It's
there's the songs where he's just blatantly ripping off Run the Jewels. Just he's trying to find a coattail to ride, and it's weird that the coattails he's decided
it's
to
so
ride
sad.
Are Hamilton and fucking Run the Jewels.
Well, and also when you are, like, for all intents and purposes, Eminem was like an inspirational rapper. I mean, there's so many people who have rode his coattails into success and who have, like, thrived and surpassed, you know, what
yeah.
Eminem had to offer. And
no,
just,
in
Eminem
fact,
has
it's
just
odd.
Not
fact,
evolved.
In fact, Lin-Manuel Miranda says that he was inspired by Eminem in his vocal delivery in Hamilton. So it's just an Ouroboros here with...
But nobody's happy. Just, and I don't think, and least of all Eminem. I mean, the whole album,
yeah.
Like, I was listening to some of the other songs. There's no joy on this album. There's no spark in anything that he's saying. It's all very recycled, very rehearsed, very phoned in, and just overall, you know, a metaphor for 2017. A fucking just a lot of delusions of grandeur and disappointment.
Yeah, this whole list is really just washed up white dudes grasping at relevancy, and it's sad. It makes for bad music. It makes for a bad experience for everyone involved. And I just I feel bad. I feel bad
yeah.
for all these guys.
Yeah.
You know, like I know how it feels to like make, you know. They want to be able to make great music again and be beloved and get back that feeling from their youth. And it's just sad that it's not happening.
It's not going to happen.
It's
no,
not happening.
It's not
Whether
happening.
You write, you know, by committee or you make some weird fucking noise found sound album about
nope.
fucking smushed cocoons.
Nope.
You're
next
just
year,
doing it. You just
check out the new collaboration featuring Eminem, featuring Maroon 5, featuring fucking Machine Gun Kelly, featuring fucking like
Portugal the Man,
featuring like
the Arcade Fire. It's sad because I don't want to tell these bands to stop. I don't want to tell them that
I do. I'm telling them to stop.
I don't want to, but I can't reach any other conclusion. I can't reach any other conclusion.
I think the final conclusion...
The expiration date is... You guys are rancid. You're rotten. It's past. The expiration
date is past. Don't even get me started on rancid. All right, listen.
Hey, the new Rancid album was good. You shut up.
That's actually true. I think the ultimate, you know, the final summation here is that we want all of you guys to just make it fucking stop. Make it fucking
make
stop.
Make it stop.
Continue to make it stop into 2018. We gotta wrap up for today. Those
right.
were the worst songs of 2017. And what do we have to look forward to next, Mike Dunn?
All right. So next week, I thought that what we should do is You know, we've had our metal poll. We had a bunch of different polls, different themes. I think we're going to want to see what they have the worst to offer across the pond. We're going to have serve up four bad British albums
four
for you
bad
on
British
the Facebook.
Albums.
Four bad British albums. Oh, wait, should I do my Paul Hollywood?
No.
We've got four bad I can't even do it. I've got to be talking about baking. All right, but...
It's underproved.
Overworked.
Continue.
It's got a good crunch. We got four albums from across the pond. We'll have them up on the Facebook and the Twitter and a poll. You tell us which one of these you want to have us review. We got Dizzy Rascal. Dizzy Rascal, who I used to love, but another guy who should have just stopped.
Stopped.
The Clash.
Stop it.
Cut the Crap. This is the Clash album that they made.
The Crap.
After Mick Jones quit the band. We got Elton John, Victim of Love.
Elton John, Victim of Love.
Elton John's disco album, much reviled from the late 70s.
Yep.
And of course, rounding out the list, we have Kelly Osbourne, Shut Up.
Kelly Osbourne, Shut Up.
So we'll have the poll up. You let us know which one we should do. Give us your react. Stoppies, thanks for listening.
Check us out on Podbean. Make it stop cast.podbean.com. We're on Facebook, Make It Stop Podcast. We are on the Twitter at Make It Stop Cast. Check us out. We're on iTunes too and Google Play. You can find us anywhere. God help you. And we'll play it out. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.